It's Monday. It's September 26, 2005. This is a lesson taken from Anat Ben-Yael's first year of training in 1998, and it's called Differentiation of the Shoulder Girdle. So Anat has published this material. So let's partner up with someone, first of all. So stand up. Because we're looking at, in this series, at neck and shoulder girdle, just, first of all, without your partner, just stand in the mirror and look at your own self. And the mirror is useful for many reasons because you can look at your negative space. What's negative space? Look at the height of one shoulder and the shape that your neck makes to that shoulder. If you were drawing an outline of yourself, you can kind of get a sense of that. And look at how the other shoulder slopes. And just get a sense of that and how you are. Now, you guys aren't holding anything unlike me, so just can you look at how your arms hang? Look at the space between the side of your body and the arm. And look at the space on the other arm, the side of your body and the arm. Maybe one arm's touching, maybe one arm's really far apart. And look at the nature of the hands. What hand is longer? And what's the orientation of the hands? Palm up, palm down, what are you looking like? Which arm is already reaching forward more and which is more hanging backwards? Maybe one arm's actually reaching behind you or already set to do that. Look at the crook of the elbow. Is one elbow straighter than the other elbow? So these are things we're going to look at. I thought we were going to do in partners, but since we have this mirror here, if you're at home and you have a partner, you can just look at your partner and notice. But we're in a dance studio space with this great mirror, so we can just analyze our own selves with our mirror. Okay, so just get a sense of that. No primping allowed. Go ahead and lie down on your back. Okay, so let's start with our left leg long and our right leg bent so that your foot is standing, your knee is bent towards the ceiling. So the right leg is bent, that's right. And you're going to hug yourself. So cross your arms around yourself. And you'll notice now that your right hand is on the left side of your body. What you're going to do is you're going to take that right hand further to the left. You're going to reach left with the right hand and then come on back to where you are. So you'll find that your right hand will go to the floor. As you reach to the left with the right hand, it'll go to the floor. Now, you have everything at your disposal to reach with your right hand and caress your right hand to the left. So that means you can move wherever you need to move. You can roll your body, you can lift your hip, you can move your head, you can do whatever it takes to let that right hand reach a little more to the left. Does that make sense? Yes. And does your elbow straighten when you do that a little bit? Bless you. Good. Let that go for a moment. Put your arms down by your side, but keep your right foot standing. Let's do a movement that unweights the right hip. So if you press your right foot into the floor, you will unweight your right hip and you will spill the weight onto the left hip. Try that. Lift the right hip up and put the right hip back down to the floor. That's it. Do that several times. What you're doing is you're taking your right hip up, meaning that the pelvis is rolling. And it starts the movement of your whole body rolling to the left. And can you not interfere with your left leg? So what does that mean? Try and not interfere with your left leg. Now, try and interfere with your left leg. Do something idiotic with your left leg that would make it harder, like block yourself a little bit. You still may be able to do the movement, but do something. Maybe it's you scrunch your toes or something. Who knows? You do something to lock out your left leg to make it harder. So now you're in a push-pull, like a cross-motivated manner. Just feel what that's like. Maybe do something in your belly that interferes. Yeah, you can really make it horrible if you want. Then try and now let that go. Just really say, okay, I'm not going to interfere. I'm just going to allow that left leg to respond to the movement of pressing through my right foot and lifting my right hip and letting the turn begin. That's lovely. Good. Rest for a moment. Let your legs come down. Take a full rest. Now let's take the movement we just did with the right foot and the right hip. Cross your arms across you like you're going to embrace yourself. And use the movement to help your right arm reach to the left. So let's do this all together. Let's place the right foot standing. The right knee is bent. And the idea is that you're reaching across your body, caressing the floor to the left with the right hand. And see if unweighting your right hip lets you reach a little further or somehow integrates with that movement. Can you allow your head to go with the movement? Head and eyes. So head and eyes will start to look left. Yeah, and let your palm come to the floor, the right palm. Yeah, so that you feel like it's an idea of reaching. Mm-hmm. So there's an action in the fingertips of, I want to go get that over there. When you're satisfied with that, just please let yourself rest. Just go on your back and uncross the arms and rest. I often tell people, if you have to choose a movement to do at the end of the day, if you're feeling tight or stressed or you just need to do some full body movement, that anything that involves rolling is a really good idea. And there's a zillion ways to roll. But there is something that I found in my practice about the idea of yourself rolling on the floor that is tremendously integrative. Whether you're doing an awareness to movement lesson or not, just a simple act of repetitive rolling. Do you remember when you were a kid rolling down a hill? Did anyone not do that? If anyone never rolled down a hill, log rolled down a hill as a child, raise your hand. Most children have done it. It's like we're compelled. It's like hardwired in. Uh-huh. There's a lot of pleasure in rolling.
Like cats, dogs, and horses do when you let them down.
Cats, dogs, and horses will roll.
One of the first things they do is drop down and roll.
Drop down and roll. Yeah. And they're frisky when they do that. Yeah.
And very relaxed at the same time.
Relaxed friskiness. Okay, let's do a couple of differentiations with this move, with this next, the same movement we were doing, but let's do the following. Let's bend the knee up, stand the foot, and again, each time you do that with the right foot, you find a good place to stand. There's many places you can choose to put the foot, and yet there is a place that works the best, and so it's trial and error. Cross your arms across your chest in the embrace. This time, as you caress your right hand to the left, can you allow your head and eyes to roll to the right? So you're taking your head and your eyes in a new direction. Now, be cognizant that you may not go as far because you have to respect what your neck can do. So it's more about organizing the pattern of this than it is maximizing the distance. Can you do it with your eyes closed? And can you feel your eyes looking right as your right hand reaches left? Some people have no idea what they're doing. You know, it's interesting. Good. Now, can you bring everything into the same direction again? So let your head roll to the left and eyes left as your right arm reaches left. Do that a few times. And then when you're ready, add the differentiation variation, which is just to have your head and eyes to go in opposition. Take your time with that. Do a few of one. Don't alternate. Do one for a while and then do the other for a while so that you know what you're doing. Good. Rest yourself. Now, I'm curious about something that's not brought up in the Anat Banyal lesson, but I'm going to bring it up tonight because I'm curious about it. I'm curious if when you lift your right hip, and you, if you let your knee not cascade inwards to the left as much, I'm curious if that makes it easier to do the differentiation of your head to the right. So what am I talking about? Gather around the yacht for a moment. You mind? So to lift the hip, there's many ways, right? So one of the ways that Liat knows really well is like, let's just let everything go over. So for those of you who are listening, the right knee is cascading all the way, almost to the floor over on the left side, and her whole body's rolling, right? But there's also an ability to lift the hip whilst keeping the knee heading over the foot. And it introduces an idea of extension in the spine. So, Liat, you tell me, with your experience, if you roll your head in the opposite way, does it become easier if you keep the...
Oh, yeah.
She says yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, do it with the knee cascading. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Any difference between the two?
It just doesn't break my whole...
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's actually, your head becomes a little freer to look underneath the right shoulder blade. Okay, so let's everyone come down. Let's break that up. So let's just forget about the hands and the head for a moment. Let's just bring the foot to stand and look at the two ways of lifting the hip. So one way of lifting the hip is as you push through the foot, you let the right knee go all the way to the left, and it's like your whole body rolls over to the left. And that will lift the right hip. So that's what most people had been doing. Just do the hip a little bit. And then this new way, or not new for some, but just this second way, is that instead of letting the knee cascade all the way over to the left, you essentially keep it more or less standing over the foot. So more or less oriented to the ceiling. It does move though. It lengthens. It has a movement. And do you feel how that changes what happens in your belly? Or maybe it changes what happens in your low back. Okay, so those are the two movements. We're going to do the second one. Cross your arms over your chest again. Caress the right arm to the left. As you do so, roll your head and eyes to the right and do the second variation of lifting the hip. In other words, keeping the knee more or less oriented over the foot, not letting it cascade. And it may be a very small movement, but see if that helps you differentiate your head and eyes in the opposite direction of the reach. Are you reaching with the arm? Reaching with the hand? That's the whole idea. Getting the arm to go somewhere. Uh-huh. That's lovely. Rest when you need. It's a different seating of the hip joint when you do that second variation. For some, it feels almost like if you had a pants pocket, you know, where you put your hand in the front pants pocket. It's like that area opens up, or for some, it feels like that area stretches. Good. Okay, let's bring up the left leg now. And leave your arms quiet by your side. And let's just lift the left hip via pressing through the left foot. I want you to try both variations. So find out what your first habit is. And stay with that, whether it's that the knee goes all the way over. Because, you know, we need both. There's not like one's right, one's wrong. It depends on what you're doing with the head and what kind of movement you want. So stick with your first idea and explore it. Explore what does it mean when you lift that hip? Do you interfere with the right leg? And if you catch yourself doing that, can you stop? Do you interfere with your jaw? Are you making too big a movement for your pleasure? Are you going too fast for your learning? Are you pausing in between long enough to appreciate? Rest, everyone. So you've explored your first variation with that. Rest it. Find out where you feel resting. It took me a long time to make this discovery. Like, sometimes you think the simplest things and you've been doing them for years and you're like, oh, why was I doing it that way? You know, I went through a whole training and then advanced training and stuff, and I still didn't know that I did this movement this way. Every time I did a lesson like this and my foot was planted and I went to lift a hip, I so engaged my belly muscles and I didn't even know I was doing it. So, you know, my idea of every time my pelvis had to lift, I totally engaged too much flexors. And yet I was strong enough to overpower them and usually do the movement anyway. And one day someone was teaching something, or I don't know, I was fooling around or whatever, and I had this idea that I didn't have to do that. It was like night and day. I thought, what have I been doing for 7 years? Literally. Like, and I had done a lot of lessons around this. So there are small nuances that, you know, 7 years down the road that you may find. So I'm saying that because some of you, I see that pattern of the minute you think about lifting the hip, there's a little going on. I can see it, actually, because I knew it so well. Right? So put up that left foot again. Stand that left foot. And can you not let any of that go on? Let the stomach muscles not interfere. It's not that they're not active in some way, shape, or form, but let them not interfere. So for me, letting my right leg not interfere had to do with my belly muscles. May for you, may not, I don't know. I just bring it up because it's my experience. How can you be soft? It's just lifting a hip. Simple. And it can be a millimeter. It's like no one's saying how much it has to be. How can it integrate? By the way, when I did that with the stomach muscles, it cut me in half. And then I had no integration in the chest. And where was my back pain? Right where my rib cage met my lower spine, upper mid back. That was my spot because I did that thing with my stomach muscles all the time and I had no integration. I cut myself in half. Even doing lessons that are supposed to integrate you, I still managed to cut myself in half. Aren't we brilliant? Okay, rest for a moment. That's it. I'll continue with my little personal story, and we'll see, maybe it'll resonate with some of you. So then I got pregnant with my son, and I was about 5 months pregnant, and this cutting myself in half thing got even worse, because now I had this big baby in front and the weight of the baby, and I used to sit in a chair, and that was my slouch point right there, and I had tremendous back pain, horrible, and nobody could figure it out, and it took me like 2 weeks to figure it out, that this baby in pregnancy was augmenting my ill habit. And I actually figured it out. I learned a lot from that. I just figured it out on my own. Although it was sitting at my desk for a couple of hours doing work every day was the total cause of my back pain. And then I learned to sit differently. It went away in 2 days. Yeah, it was really interesting. It was just a postural habit that was causing it. Okay, so now let's put the, where were we? Which leg was up? Left leg was up. And cross your arms. And now let's add the idea of your left arm reaching to the right. Do it any way you want. Learn to make yourself smooth. Learn to take the jaggedness and round it out. Learn to make it soft. Better that it's smaller, well organized, soft, a pleasure, than it's jagged and far and disorganized. Learn to breathe with the movement. Now, does your head want to go with? Let's let everybody's head and eyes go with. It's a wonderful thing. If you were rolling and reaching for something, that is probably what you would do, because you'd be wanting to look for what you were getting. So let's have everybody's head and eyes roll and look to the right-hand side as you reach with that left arm. Notice how that left shoulder blade slides along the ribcage and widens the back. If the chest is soft enough, you'll allow a free blade. That's nice. If you're tired, you just give it up and you rest. So just those movements alone, have they changed how you feel and how you're resting? Just those few rolling motions. Where do you feel wider? Now, let's add the differentiation where you roll your head and your eyes in the opposite direction. And like we noticed with Liat, one student, that if you keep your knee from cascading all the way over, keep it more or less the foot standing, that might help that differentiation. If that's not the case for you, you explore it and you do whatever makes that differentiation good for yourself. So you're reaching with your left arm to the right, you're rolling your head and eyes to the left, almost like you wanted to peek under your left shoulder. Notice how your left shoulder blade is leaving the floor. The left hip and the left shoulder blade leave the floor. Gently. Softly. That's good. Rest. All I took a modern dance class when I was 19. It was my very first dance class I ever took. And we'd have this resting position, and she allowed us two ways to rest. We were laying on our back with our knees bent. So everyone put your knees bent. We could either rest like Falk is resting right now, with our arms straight out to the side as if we were 90 degrees away, perpendicular to the side. So bend your knees up. Everybody have your knees bent. Bend your knees and stand your feet. There you go. So that was one choice. The other choice was wrapped around in an embrace. Those were our two choices to rest. It was really interesting. I don't know if anyone knows modern dance, or maybe this was just the peculiarity of the teacher. And yet, in this lesson, this is how many of you are resting in between. Your arms are either right out or your arms are in the embrace. It's interesting. It just reminds me of that first class. Put your arms in the embrace. Both feet are going to be bent. And you're going to alternately reach one arm one way, one arm to the other. So you're embraced, cross your arms across your chest. Your left arm is going to reach to the right. Your right hand is going to reach to the left alternately. And use whatever you want. Let your head go with the motion. Let your feet help. Let your body rock and roll appropriately. And see if you can reach out with one arm, alternate, reach out with the other arm. Notice you have one arm on top. Notice which one's on top. And then gently come out of that and rest. Let your arms come to your sides or wherever's comfortable. Let that go. Okay, try that variation again with the other arm on top. So just change the crossing of your arms and gently go side to side, reaching out, left arm reaching to the right, right arm reaching to the left. Make it pleasant for yourself. How does it feel? So we're going to go back to this motion as a bit of a baseline to see how it's coming along. So just notice, how does this feel right now? Okay, please let that go and rest. I didn't ask you this question, but I'm curious to ask it now. When you were looking in the mirror, or even now when you just feel yourself, which shoulder, and by shoulder I mean the blade, what have you, the whole way the arm connects in, which shoulder feels stronger and sounder? Like it has more power or more organization. Do you have a sense of yourself from both shoulders? Does one of them feel stronger? If you were in Cirque du Soleil and someone had to stand on your shoulders, you know, imagine you're standing up and you're going to take someone on your shoulders. They're going to put their feet on your shoulders and stand. Does one side feel a little sounder than the other? Just know for yourself. Okay, let's bend the knees up, stand the feet. Please take your left arm and you're going to place it behind you, palm down on the diagonal. You're going to lay on it. So lift your pelvis up in the air. Lift your pelvis in the air so you can get your arm underneath you. So Nuri, you're going to put your arm underneath you and lay on it. Almost as if you were going to slide it into your right backhand pocket, but the palm is going to be on the ground. The elbow's a little bit bent, but not a lot bent. And you want to try and get the shoulder blade down and back. Okay, let the legs, let the knees tilt to the right. You'll be rolling over your fingers or your wrist, and then you tilt the legs back. Let your head go with that motion so that as your legs tilt to the right, so does your head. Rolls to the right. And then you come on back. That's it. So here, come on back. Just let your shoulder be quiet. Just tilt your legs. Just tilt your knees. There you go. And bring your knees back. There you go. I know, it's kind of uncomfortable being on your arm, isn't it? You want to take it out and take a rest. Take it out, take a rest. Good. Okay. Everybody roll to sit. Let's stand up for a second. So in standing, we all can get our arms behind our back, right? So take your left arm, stand up for just a second, and imagine you're reaching into the back pocket of your jeans with your palm facing out. And go into that back pocket of the jeans, right? Most of us can get there, right? And yet when we lay on the floor, the arm's like this. Why? You know, you have to contort yourself a little bit to get the arm back there. So don't be afraid to kind of contort so that you can get the shoulder in, maybe not your maximum, but somewhere where it's on the diagonal back there. Because you know you can do it in standing. Yeah, she's checking the other side. Can I do one side? Can I do the other? Yeah, maybe one goes further. Yeah. Okay, go ahead and lay down again. Put the left arm underneath you. Both knees are bent. You have to lift your pelvis to do it, and you have to drop your blade somewhere. Sometimes you can even peek your fingers out the other side if you're very mobile. Now, do the following. Take the left shoulder and slide it up to the left ear. And then slide the left shoulder away. Your arm will be sliding on this diagonal. Okay, so the movement ends up being like this and like that and like this and like that. But you're on the floor. So you have to unweight your pelvis a little bit to do that. That's nice. And you have to move in your chest a little bit. Something has to happen in your rib cage. Otherwise, the arm can't do anything. Not the ear. The ear stays quiet. Just shoulder to ear, shoulder away from ear. Shoulder to ear, shoulder away from ear.
Are we really lying on our arm?
You're laying on your arm, but you have to unweight a little bit because otherwise it won't slide. Yeah. Yeah. So see if you can involve even, that's it, a little bit more of your torso. It, not to, you know, go past where you're comfortable. See if you can diagonal it a little bit more. So if that can happen. So in other words, instead of the fingers peeking between the legs, that finger actually goes out that way. Yes. Then you get a little more side bending in. Yes. People are like, enough of that. Rest. It's a fun variation, huh? You're with me in spirit. Okay. Bend your knees up again. Place the arm underneath you. Left arm on the diagonal, fingers pointing towards the right hip. And then now just take the tip of the right shoulder and lift it towards the ceiling and then let it drop back towards the floor. So you do something with the chest muscles that moves the tip of the right shoulder forward and back. That's your hip moving. Move your shoulder. Left shoulder. Left shoulder. So, did I say right shoulder? I'm so sorry. I meant left shoulder. Left shoulder. Left shoulder. Tip of the shoulder. No wonder. Up and back. Up and back. That's right. Don't lever it through your elbow, but access the chest muscles. That's lovely. That's lovely. That's it. Yes. Good. Rest for a moment. Undo. It's a weird movement, that last one. It accesses the clavicle in a way that many people don't fully access their clavicles. Yeah. So now we have 4 points. We have, how would we say this? Up towards the ear, away from the ear, and we have ceiling and floor if we want to orient that way. So you can make a circle with that shoulder. So put the arm, left arm, underneath you, and you're going to be sliding around, and you're going to make a circle with that shoulder. So you're going to pull the shoulder up to your ear, slide it up to your ear, let the shoulder tip go forward towards the ceiling, then slide the shoulder away from your ear, and then drop it back to the floor. And you'll be making a circle with the shoulder. Does that make sense? That's nice. Slowly. And you'll have to unweight because your arm will be sliding around. Mm-hmm. Now notice there's a directionality of the circle. You're either rowing forward or you're rowing backwards. So just notice which one you're doing, because after our rest, we'll do the opposite. Yes. Hike it up towards the shoulder, towards the ear, and then you'll have more room to drop it down. That's nice. Good. Take your arm out and rest. The first lesson I ever did with laying on the arm was by a very well-known protege of Moshe Feldenkrais. Her name was Gabby Uran. I thought she was insane. It felt so uncomfortable to lay on my arm. But, you know, it can be cultivated, and it's actually, I understand why it's part of Moshe's work. Go ahead and lay on it again. Go ahead and bring both knees up. Place the arm underneath you. And then you're going to cultivate your circle in the other direction. So if you need to, you talk to yourself. You go, okay, shoulder up to the ceiling, shoulder up to the ear, shoulder back to the floor, shoulder away from the ear. You know, just talk yourself through the 4 points if it's confusing for you. You'll be moving a lot of your torso as you do this. It's allowed to move the ribs, to differentiate the torso. Move the chest around. You must. If it doesn't move, you can barely make a circle. Okay, let that go, please. Let's go back to a baseline. Have the right leg long. Put the right arm across your chest and left arm, kind of hug yourself. Go back to the first movement we did, which was taking that right arm, reaching it to the left. Just see if, I'm sorry, I'm wanting to say the left arm reaching to the right. I'm sorry, you guys, I should be teaching more clearly. Yes, there you go. So that's one of the first movements we did. And just see, after having done that funny little circular differentiation of laying on the arm, does that make this movement of reaching any easier in any way, shape, or form? Just 2-3 times to let yourself know how it goes. And rest. Some of you now, when you do that motion, it's really much more segmental, less like a big log rolling. It's more like dominoes kind of going on up. So it looks softer.
It's much better.
It's much better, yeah. Yeah. Okay, everybody rest. So there may be some usefulness in laying on one's arm. It's actually interesting. I've had a couple of clients that have had a lot of carpal tunnel and have given them this as homework to do. First of all, laying on one's arm squishes down those muscles that get all funky with carpal tunnel anyway. If carpal tunnel is really coming from the forearm, sometimes carpal tunnel is coming from somewhere else. But in the true carpal tunnel, a lot of forearm overuse musculature. And also, in a way, the arm doesn't get connected to the core, which sets you up for carpal tunnel because you're too wristy and too forearmy. So it's a really interesting thing to do if you work on computer a lot and you're mousing a lot. Just sticking the arm behind you and doing that little four-point circle thing, you know, breaking it up. We'll do it on the left. Let's everyone do it on the left. Bring your knees up. Put the left, I'm sorry, the right arm. I'm really left-right challenged tonight. Put your right arm on the diagonal now. So you're going to be laying on your right arm. So your right arm is palm down. The fingers are facing the left hip or the left buttocks, palm down, and you lay on it. There you go. Your knees are bent. And now let's tilt the knees over to the left. Tilt the knees over to the left. And then back center. And let your head go with that movement. So you're rolling over, flattening out the hand, flattening out the wrist. Pardon? Okay, yeah, her whole wrist is cracked. See? Self-mobilization. Good. Take it on out. Give it a rest. Take your arm out. There's only so long you can actually lay on it, right? Especially if it's not that organized. If you have a lot of bend in the elbow, it can really tweak your elbow in a funky way. So, you know, you have to negotiate with that. Eventually, as you get very supple, you can really, the arm can really go behind you and it's not a big deal at all. It gets softer and softer. But at the beginning, you have to kind of feel your way through it. Okay, bend your knees up and place your right arm again underneath yourself. Let's do the variation where you unweight a little bit, you lift your pelvis a little bit, and you're going to slide the tip of the right shoulder towards your right ear, and then slide the whole arm away. So when you make the tip of your shoulder go away, guess what? The arm lengthens along that diagonal. It's not an elbow movement, it's a whole arm slide. Plus some more. You'll feel your chest move. Your rib cage will move. You slide it up. Really see if you can get the tip of the shoulder right near the ear. And then the tip of the shoulder away from the ear. That's nice. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like you're scratching your back on a tree a little bit. Mm-hmm. Good. Rest. Take your arm out. The next variation was the other points, which are forward and back or ceiling and floor. So bend your knees up, put your arm down, and explore lifting the tip of the shoulder forward and letting it drop back. So again, it's your right arm behind you. You're essentially laying on it. And you're just isolating the clavicle, basically, here. The pecs will kick in to lift that shoulder forward. Uh-huh. Relax your jaw. Uh-huh. That's it. Shades of Chicago. The musical. You know, Catherine Zeta-Jones, you know. I'll give you some flick. Okay, rest your arm. Bring it out. I must be inspired by the Latin music guy here next door. Now we have a whole circle to explore. So when you're ready, you put the arm underneath you. And then you have tip of the shoulder. Yeah, bend your knees for sure. Arm underneath, right arm underneath you. on the diagonal to the left. You have the tip of the right shoulder towards the right ear, tip of the shoulder forward, tip of the shoulder away from the right ear, tip of the shoulder back towards the floor, up towards the ear, up towards the ceiling, away from the ear, back to the floor. Let the arms slide around as you move the tip of the shoulder around. Let the rest of your rib cage, pelvis, everything integrate with it to make it possible. Can you reverse your direction? Please do so. Jaw. Chest. When you need to, you rest.
My abdomen right here is not like on the other side. Like my whole rib cage is swaying. I'm like moving from here. Just
here you're just moving your shoulder blade and clavicle.
Nothing is going.
Yeah, on. So let it go. You're missing, your shoulder's never going to your ear. Bring it to your ear. Slow. Slow, 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 slow. Bring it to your ear. Bring the tip of your shoulder to your ear. Now bring it away from your ear. There you go. Now bring it to your ear. Now bring it forward. Now bring it away from your ear. Drop it back to the floor. Slide it up, 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 up to your ear. Yes, that pulls in more of your rib cage, yes? Yes, see, now you're moving in there. Good. Everybody rest. You okay? Okay. Okay, let's go back to our baseline movement. Bend both knees. Caress yourself, hug yourself, embrace. Let one arm reach one way, let one arm reach the other way. Good. See how that's coming along. Rest. We have time for one more variation. So this whole lesson, if you look it up in enough, there's actually two more variations, but we're going to do one more. Let's go on our bellies. We're going to lie in a particular way. We're going to face our heads to the right. So you'll be laying on your left cheek. You're going to take your right arm and make it as if you're doing a push-up. Make it as if you're doing a push-up. So stand the hand, elbow in the air. Lift yourself up a little bit and place your left arm across your chest under your chin and lay on your left arm. So your left arm essentially is straight across the way to the right. Uh-huh. Palm usually will be up a little bit. Make your palm wherever you can. There you go. So you're essentially on your belly with your head to the left. You're going to use your right arm to roll yourself over that left shoulder and then roll yourself back onto your belly. You get the idea? So you're rolling over your left shoulder, press through the right arm, roll, roll, roll. You'll feel yourself rolling over and then roll back onto your belly, not all the way onto your back. Just kind of to the side and back a little bit. Uh-huh. Now, would you please spread your legs a little bit? And would you let your legs be passive, but be soft and not interfering? Okay? So most of the work is through the right arm, and you let everything else kind of be like ragdoll dragged along. And just enjoy rolling over that left shoulder and then flopping back onto your belly. Let your head not even lift. Let your head relax. There you go. Let the legs be even wider. There you go. And don't interfere with this leg. If you don't interfere with this leg, something neat will happen. Go. There you go. And then this knee will bend. See how stiff it is? Let it just bend. It will bend of its own accord. It will bend of its own accord. Yeah, no, that's keeping it stiff, stiff, stiff. So relax for just a sec. Is your arm okay, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to just lift your pelvis. Please don't do anything with your right leg. Let your right leg relax. Let your right leg relax. It starts to bend. Let it go to the floor. But there you go. And then down. That will start to bend. There you go. That's better. When it's stiff, you're doing something cuckoo with it. Maybe because it hurts. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, because it hurts
from the right hand. Okay, so you might have to protect it. Is this a painful movement for you?
No, it's not easy.
But it's not painful?
No.
Okay. And roll all the way over to your back. Right where you have it. Yep. Roll all the way over to your back. There you go. And rest on your back. There you go. How was that? It's okay? Okay. Yeah, maybe you just do a portion of it then.
Yeah.
You know. Because, you know, that's a... I'm using the word picking on a student. But, you know, so her leg was doing a lot of extra work. There may be a good reason for that. She has a history somewhere. And so she's protecting and guarding. And if you find yourself doing that, it's a really interesting thing, saying, is this protection and guarding necessary right now? And can I make the movement such that I can begin to unravel that? If no, then no. Because protection and guarding has a usefulness. It's not that we just say, oh, just relax and everything will be okay. But it's a level of differentiation that you take yourself through. Is it safe enough that I can let that go so that the protection and guarding themselves don't become the problem? Because sometimes they do become the problem over time. So it's an interesting thing that only you know, as you go through a movement. It's your own process of determining. And always staying comfortable, never going so far that you're not comfortable. Let's try the other side. Roll onto your belly. Last differentiation that we'll do for the night. You're going to turn your head to the left. You're being on your belly, all the way onto your belly. Your legs will be spread. It's easier to let the legs relax if they're spread. Now your left arm is going to be the push-up arm, and your right arm is going to be across your chest. So start from the mode of being on your belly and then press through that left hand. Let your head relax, let your legs relax, and let everything ragdoll in a sense as you roll over the right shoulder and just see. Yeah. So here, let the knee bend. Does that make it easier? Yeah, because then you're not as falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe something like that makes it easier. Maybe that's too much. Maybe you work a little bit more from the belly, just a quarter turn. Or you find the range that's comfortable. Or you just rest if you can't. Uh-huh. So go all the way back over onto your belly. Separate your legs. Separate them. Yeah, separate them. Good. Act like you can't do anything in here. The hamstrings stay relaxed. Roll. Roll. Why is that knee straight? Let that... Let that all relax. That will flop. If it's not interfering, it will flop in a bent position. If you're not doing anything with it, eventually it'll, you know. But in the initial movement, yeah, make it straight when you start. You're on your belly. Go really slow and find out how that leg follows. It'll just get dragged. Find out how it gets dragged. Now, if it gets dragged really straight, you're interfering.
Yeah.
It'll bend a little. It'll soften. It won't bend a lot, but it will bend a little. Yeah. Yes, see? That's better. Do you feel the difference? It's really hard because we really want to kick in with our legs. And this is a variation that says, hey, let the legs be passive. It's an interesting idea. Okay, if you've had enough of that, roll onto your back. There you are. Caress your arms across, embrace, knees are bent. Reach once to one side, once to the other side. First movement we started with, your arms are across your chest. Reach your left arm to the left, the right arm to the right. Just let the legs and hips do whatever assists the movement and feel what it's like now. Feel if you're softer somewhere. Good. And then let that all go and rest on your back. Check in with yourself, with where you might feel like you have more space, more width. Where do you feel wider? Where or how do you feel longer, if you do? Or do you feel bigger? Does your chest feel flatter? Okay, let's roll up and stand in front of the mirror now. And try not to fix anything, but just try and stand as naturally as you can, even though you're just sitting here looking at yourself. And just look at your arms hanging. And we looked at a couple of things. We looked at, yeah, very different. A lot of people are like, whoa, really a big difference. We looked at the shape of the shoulder in relation to the neck and the ear and kind of how it extended out. That was one thing we looked at. So you can think of, okay, if I'm a Cirque du Soleil person and someone's going to stand on my shoulders, or I do cheerleading or something, some gymnastic stunt, like how well am I for someone to stand on my shoulders? What's the sense of that being able to take that? Notice what arm, what hand feels longer. Maybe they've evened out. Maybe one was really long to begin with. Maybe they've evened out. The space between the side of you and the arm, the waist and the arm, has that changed? Where the arm hangs, on the side, in the front, in the back, way out, and how the palm and the hand hangs. What's the difference there? Do you notice anything that's changed? And it may not be a visual change. For most it is, but it doesn't have to be. It can more be an internal feeling of change. Go ahead and, pardon?
I noticed
a big change.
It was like,
And now it's hanging. Yeah. So walk with your arms available to hang, right? A hanging arm is actually an accurate walk. A hanging arm. We in this culture walk with very active arms. But really, walking, the arms hang, and you know how they swing? They swing because the foundation changes, not because they are swinging. They're swinging because the ground drops out beneath them, and then they swing. It's a different idea. Let's reach a little bit and just see, what's it feel like to reach up with that arm? Reach one arm, reach one elbow forward, reach another elbow forward. Maybe you can think of cross-country skiing and reaching one forward, one behind. And just feel how that feels. Yeah. Feel how connected you are through the sides. Feel the blades. Yes, any of that. Feel how free the arms are. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then just your posture and the arm hanging. Hanging. Thank you all very much for coming tonight.